Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
It is The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by the Captivate Network. Captivate, you can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, big radio midgets production. Every week we promise you a great show, and this week is no exception. Our special guest out of San Francisco is Dan Rome, founder of Digital Rome, Inc., a management consulting company that helps business executives solve complex problems through visual thinking. His business book, it's called The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures. So we'll tell you about that here in just a moment. Also, for good stuff, out of New York, Patrick Meyer, our marketing insider. Intuitive marketing, he'll be talking about today. Gene Bliss, a little bit later on in the show, has a thing called Do the Customer Math. And we'll find out what that's all about as well. So, good to have you here. And as we said, it's Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth at theadvertisingshow.com. Something here from Honda. Now, Honda has a great car. I don't think anybody will disagree with that. But they are having some problems rebranding or selling their Pilot, because the Pilot is the big SUV, guzzles gas and loves to, you know, it's pretty good on gas mileage, I guess, but it still does that. But basically what they're saying, it says, faced with the relaunching of the Pilot, with gas prices rising, car sales declining, the RPA creative directors Eric Heinlein and Nathan Crow chose to humorously emphasize new features in a campaign that presents the vehicle in a series of bizarre situations. So basically what they're doing, there's Last Comic Standing, which is an NBC show. They developed a Last Driver Standing contest in which comedians, not the ones appearing on the show, perform comedy routines inside a Pilot with a host sitting in the passenger seat and an audience piled in the back. It sounds kind of like that game show where they have the money cab or something like that. Have you ever seen that, Brent, by any chance?
I have. It's kind of a reality TV show. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. So yeah. They're doing the same thing with the concept. They're calling the SUV the Swiss Army knife on wheels. They have some other spots. if you can picture this, or maybe you don't want to, in a commercial which broke, I guess it was last week, a father and son came across elderly nudist balloonists. Elderly nudist balloonists who have accidentally dropped onto the road, which happens with balloons, hopefully in the gondola. After loading them in the vehicle, the father hesitates to look behind him, and the son suggests using the Pilot's rear view camera, the Swiss Army knife of cars. It is indeed the Honda Pilot. So isn't that kind of cool?
I don't know. Yeah, it sounds like an interesting idea. I just don't know that... with gas prices what they are and what they're expected to continue in terms of rising, that SUV of any sort is going to be selling more briskly because of an ad campaign. I just don't see that turning any SUV, Honda or other brands, around just because of a clever ad campaign. I think today's consumer, and certainly the numbers bear this out, automotive makers are hurting big time when it comes to selling SUVs. And I think the public just, you know, is kind of understanding that this is not a temporary blip on the gasoline machine. This is for real, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, I think, Ray. But you know, along those same lines, real quickly, I know we got to take a break for one of our contributors, but registrations for hybrid vehicles rose 38% last year, led by the Toyota Prius, which captured 51%, which I thought was phenomenal, of the hybrid market share, according to a study released recently by R.L. Polk. So the opposite flip of that coin is that the Toyota Prius has got over a 50% market share of the hybrid market out there. So that's interesting.
Wow. And there's a lot of great vehicles out there. You know, they've got the new Mercedes-Benz, which is actually made by General Motors. It's the two-seat car, which apparently it's a pretty safe car as well. But, you know, a lot of people are doing that and driving that stuff right now. But there are alternatives. And I don't know that it's the high MPG cars that are going to make it, because according to scientists, by the year 2050, we won't have any more crude oil. It's gone. It's used up, and we've got to find alternative power sources here. So a hybrid or something like that. They say solar power is the biggest thing, but they certainly haven't figured out a way to harness that to make an effective transportation vehicle. So in our lifetime, and, you know, 50 years down the road, we're going to be very old.
And on the unicycle.
And hopefully still alive, but yeah, you'll be probably riding bikes and such. So things are going to change for our children and our grandchildren as well. It should be interesting. Patrick Meyer has a bit here for us on the Advertising Show on intuitive marketing. Let's listen.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today I'm going to talk to you about intuitive marketing. So you're thinking, what's that? Marketing based on your gut, your intuition? Well, yeah, that's important. You may be aware that in design, packaging, graphics, ID, there's a thing going on called intuitive design. It's linking to what's right from the consumer standpoint. It's creating ideas that the consumer sees, embraces, and so right for what their needs and wants are. They're simple and they're powerful. But let's bring that over into marketing. Intuitive marketing is creating ideas and solutions and approaches that are right for the consumer, that come right out of insight-driven approaches. I'm not just talking decks and research presentations. I'm talking about ethnographic, anthropologic, down in the trenches, talking to consumers kind of insights, where you really understand what's going on in their world. I think of intuitive marketing around three words: wow, easy, and cool. The wow piece is, if they can't talk about it, don't do it. In other words, they have to scream with delight. They have to want to tell their friends. They want to become advocates. That's about wow. Second, easy. So easy, a caveman could do it. How do you touch the consumer? How do you embrace them? Where do you fit in their world? How do they buy you, embrace you, etc.? Third is cool. If you take the wow, combine it with the easy, and put a shell around it called cool. It could be cool, it could be hip, it could be nurturing, it could be loving, it could be beautiful, but it's wrapping it in emotion. Follow those three things, and you have intuitive marketing.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowing.net or send me an email at patrick@nowing.net.
It's Patrick Meyer, always informative and always a pleasure to have you here on the show, Patrick, with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. On the Advertising Show. Dan Rome, his book is called The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures. We've all done that before, and let's see what that's all about here in just a few moments. Dan has used his unique visual thinking approach to resolve business challenges at Microsoft, Google, Walmart, eBay, Wells Fargo, and many other companies. So in just a moment, we'll tell you more about Dan. By the way, he's in San Francisco, absolutely gorgeous city. And we'll be talking to him for a few segments here with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. What do you have for me with 30 seconds or less?
With 30 seconds or less, I understand that when he was, Dan, our guest today at Microsoft, that he pulled a napkin out and drew a little map for where Bill Gates needed to build his home. This is just a rumor. We're going to figure out if that's true or not. And he also designed the home.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, there's probably design in there, something really cool, too.
He designated where it needed to go, plus the architectural rendering.
We're lucky. Even if that's not true, it's worth staying tuned for, isn't it? On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, we'll be back in just a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Yes, it is The Advertising Show, and as you would expect, we've always got great guests and good conversation here with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth, and today is no exception. Dan Rome is out of San Francisco. Dan's book, The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures, is what we're going to talk about today, including, from what I understand, somebody told us that you have a Honda Pilot, Dan. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah, just what you were talking about before, and we love the car.
Okay. You drive it a lot?
less and less all the time, let's put it that way. But the more interesting thing is your reference to the Honda Pilot now being rebranded as the Swiss Army Knife of cars. I find interesting because I've been using the Swiss Army Knife analogy a lot myself in the kind of the visual thinking toolkit that I give to business executives. So it's kind of funny between, in the intro, both the Honda Pilot and the Swiss Army Knife, I'm thinking, you guys, boy, it's like as if we rehearsed this.
And that's what we never do, so that's a good thing to pull off, I guess. Anyway, Dan, welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
And you know, Ray, we like to say if you have Dan Rome kind of money, it doesn't matter what you drive, right?
There you go.
That's right.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Dan, let's give you a chance. I'm sorry?
I wish.
Yeah, okay. Let's give you a chance to talk a little bit about your company. You founded Digital Rome, and you have a great success in the world of consulting. It's no secret. With some very, very big names in business, I might add. Spend a minute or two and tell our audience a little bit about your firm.
Sure. Well, it is a management consulting company. I work right now. I have a very, very good group of clients, and I'm in a nice position to be able to kind of selectively choose who I get to work with, which is a great position to be in. I'm working these days primarily with Microsoft. I do a lot of work with Walmart, with eBay, Wells Fargo right now, of course, out here in the Bay Area, and a little company called Infosys Consulting, which very few people have heard of, but it is a huge, huge India-based technology consulting company that has set up shop headquarters in the United States, also out in the Bay Area, and does a lot of fascinating work as well. So it's a really good base of clients, and what I essentially do with all of the executives and director-level people that I work with is essentially help them solve all kinds of complex business problems by essentially having them learn again how to draw. And as odd as that might sound, it's really actually some pretty hardcore business stuff. Essentially what I'm telling them is that and working through is that with a relatively simple set of tools and rules that I do talk about, of course, in the book, it is possible to essentially look at just about any kind of business challenge you face, kind of take it apart with these very simple pictures, circles and arrows and boxes and smiley faces and that kind of thing, and really be able to get down into the nuts of what is the problem about. And as we sort of draw it out, begin to see various possible ways of solving that problem starting to emerge directly from the simple pictures that we make. And then, of course, the beauty of it is once you've been able to kind of clarify your own ideas and discover your own ideas through these simple pictures, you now have a really, really powerful tool by which to explain those ideas to someone else in a way that the audience is just going to get and finds pretty compelling. So it's a fascinating place to be right now.
Well, we're going to talk about some of the techniques that you outline in your book, Dan. And before we do that, your book certainly shows how to, as you say, solve problems, sell ideas by drawing and using pictures. And I'm curious, you know, we at The Advertising Show, we deal with visuals a lot, being in the advertising industry and presenting things with pictures, so to speak. But I'm curious, who in particular did you have in mind when you wrote your book? Who's your target market?
The target, and this is, my background is also in advertising, and in fact, we can talk about that a little bit later, but I got started running my own advertising agencies and graphic design, marketing, communications companies, and then eventually, and there's an answer to your question in here, I found myself in the position of being able to provide more kind of consultative services on global marketing communications, which evolved into business strategy. So the real target for my book is anyone who is a business decision maker who on a daily basis faces complex problems, things that are difficult to resolve, who is looking for some kind of alternative ways of problem solving, some new ways to maybe more rapidly solve business problems quickly, especially given globalization that's coming on, the fact that as you're working with your business partners, you may not even be speaking the same language some of the times.
True.
The fact that information overload is just a given for everybody in business these days. And, you know, if you think that maybe 50 years ago, the biggest sort of business intelligence problem that a business person was likely to have was that they couldn't get enough information. Today, the problem is the other way around. Today, it's that we all have too much information coming in. And what I find is that being able to really effectively look at lots of incoming data and see the patterns that are there through some of these simple pictures, it's really a powerful way of being able to kind of cut through all of the visual noise, separate the wheat from the chaff, and figure out what are the really critical issues that we should be looking at and what kind of patterns are emerging there, and out of that being able to generate some really good insights. And I intentionally here use a lot of words that are related back to vision because I find it intriguing, whether we're talking about looking at a problem or seeing a solution or imagining a possibility in order to create a vision or get insights. They're all terms that are drawn directly from vision, and it kind of goes to the point of how critical seeing vision really is to us in terms of problem solving.
Yeah, and, you know, if I could mention, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think of visual presentations, they, if you're old enough, you think back to the flip chart days and then more recently the projectors. And, of course, now we all tend to think of PowerPoint. But yet you say that they're using a humble napkin can actually be more powerful. I'm curious, if everyone is born with a visual talent, what is your reaction to people that might say, hey, Dan, I can't even draw a straight line to save my life? What would you say to them?
Well, and I say it all the time because this is every time I walk into a workshop or a seminar or a business meeting, guaranteed there are going to be a few people in the room every time who say exactly what you just did, that Dan, you know, solving problems with pictures, visual thinking, that sounds fine, but I'm not a visual person. I can't draw. I can't do this. And I say to them, and I mean this in all seriousness, that's fine. We all have our own talents. But if you are visual enough to be able to walk into this room and find a place to sit down without falling down, you are visual enough to understand everything that we're talking about. Think about it like this. From a strictly neurological perspective, 75% of the neurons in our brain that are processing sensory information are processing vision. Vision is far and away the most important one of our senses in terms of how we make our way through the world, how we understand the world around us, and effectively, how do we go about learning to solve problems. And kind of the proof of all of this is I'll often say, you know, imagine back when you were six years old, go back, you know, go visit a kindergarten, and with the teacher's permission, of course, ask the kindergartners how many can draw, and every one of the little kids is going to raise their hand. Then ask them how many can read and write, and, you know, maybe one or two, maybe, are going to raise their hand. We'll now come back to the same class 10 years later when the kids are 16, they're in 10th grade, ask the same two questions. Ask how many can draw, and you'll only get two or three hands.
Sure.
Ask how many can read and write, and everybody's hand's going to go up.
Conversely. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, reading and writing is absolutely fundamental and critical, but what we're missing is we are born with this ability to see our way through things.
Yeah.
And yet you can't find, unless you're in art school or design school, you can't find a class at a university level about visual thinking or solving problems with pictures, period. And I think it's kind of a shame.
It's a special guest here on the Advertising Show, Dan Rome out of San Francisco. The book is called The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures. And Dan, you're talking to the choir here. I love drawing pictures. I have to draw boxes, pictures, all that kind of stuff. And I can actually see the end vision. You know, I can picture that very strongly in my head about what it's supposed to look like when it's done. And we're going to talk more with Dan here in just a moment, so stay with us.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd, but now
This is the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Out of San Francisco this weekend, it's Dan Rome. His book is called The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures. Dan, it is indeed a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Yeah, we're going to get into some of the how, too. And by the way, Ray closed out last segment talking about how he's a visual guy. I am as well. I think most people know if they think in pictures or not. And most people may not realize this, but Ray used to be a tagger for a graffiti gang right there in Houston many years ago. So if you see any bridges or walls with paintings on it, it could be Ray's work.
He used to drive around in Brad's Volkswagen, okay?
Yeah. Let's talk a little. Before we get into some of the nuts and bolts that we really teased during the first segment and really is some worthwhile reading, I recommend all of our listeners check out The Back of the Napkin. If you're in advertising or marketing and convey ideas verbally, you certainly want visual support, and we all know that, and it's a great, great read, and highly recommend the book. You recently appeared on Fox News, Dan, where you talked about and even sketched out the founding of Southwest Airlines, which coincidentally was drawn up on the back of a cocktail napkin. I'm curious, what is it about the Southwest Airlines story that moves you so much?
I think there are a couple of things. The number one, of course, is it's just the greatest story of a business being founded literally on the back of a napkin. Rollin King and Herb Kelleher were in the St. Anthony's Club bar down in San Antonio brainstorming about how they might be able to create an airline and pull out a napkin, and Rollin King is the one who drew out the triangle connecting Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio and said, let's make an airline that connects those. What I really like about it is it's a great story about the start of the business, but what I like even more is the fact that to this day, Southwest remains the most profitable and competitive airline in the world. And it's really interesting because one of the things that I was talking about on Fox News was, as we look at airline consolidation over the next couple of months between Delta and Northwest and very likely between United and U.S. Airways, I was just reading an article recently where the new chairman and CEO of Southwest was saying, we relish the opportunity to step into the markets that are going to suddenly be chaotic when these airlines merge and suddenly start cutting their operational overlap. And that Southwest is actually positioning itself in a pretty good place to be able to continue to be successful. And, you know, I that can't be attributed to the fact that they started on the back of the napkin, but it sure makes a good story.
Yeah, it really sure does. It's great connectivity. And as well, we had this past week at the Ad Federation here in Houston, a gentleman who was a liaison, a media liaison for American Airlines. And they seem to answer some questions, but don't have answers for many. And I question what Southwest does very well is the fact that they really care for their customers well, in addition to keeping it simple. So they do a great job on that.
So Continental, based on in Houston, he didn't have trouble getting to the Ad Federation meeting, I hope.
No.
Yeah, you know, early in your book, Dan, you talk about the four steps of visual thinking. Well, let's get into this, and beginning with the one that you start with, obviously the best place to start there is a process, as you say, and rules to govern it. Talk a little bit about this.
What I have realized in talking with business people, kind of back to the point we were making earlier, is that the greatest concern many business people have about solving problems with pictures, the greatest concern is that they don't believe that they're able to draw. And one of the reasons that I really emphasize an overall process is because I want to kind of decouple, if you will, the notion that you have to be a good artist or you have to be really good at drawing in order to be good at visual thinking. You don't. And the steps, the broad steps of this process I've come up with are very simple, and we already know how to do all of them. Essentially what I say to people, pretty simple process proposition, if you will, when you face a problem, the first thing I want you to do is really look at it, be good at how you look at the problem. And then let's learn how to get better at seeing the kind of patterns that emerge from what we're looking at. So looking and then seeing. Once we've identified and seen what those patterns are, I want you to get better. We can all do this. Get better at imagining how to sort of visually manipulate those patterns in order to create something which is better or more innovative potentially than what we saw there before. And then last, once we've imagined what this idea might be, then we have the ability to show it to other people through the very same pictures that we've been creating. And the reason I like this is because it shows that being able to draw is something that's only important really at the very end of the whole process. If we get better at looking and seeing and imagining, then the drawing part just gets better automatically, and we won't worry about it nearly so much. So there's a lot more that I could go in on the process, but having that process there I find to be really critical and helping people realize that this is a valid business process that really does function.
The book is called The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems, Selling Ideas with Pictures. And our special guest here on the advertising show, it's Dan Rome out of San Francisco. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, hope you can stick around. We've got more in just a moment.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
I love the sound of the rain.
And I love the taste of your fresh fruit coffee.
Oh.
And we are loaded here in the studio with crayons. You've got a green one there, Brad. I've got a red one, and lots of napkins, too. I love that, too. Dan Rome is our special guest. It's The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems, Selling Ideas with Pictures. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks much.
Yeah, and a lot of questions here to handle in the last segment. So give me some quick reactions to this. I can hear our audience saying, you know, critics might suggest that, you know, when it comes to seeing things, we've all heard that, you know, there's a car accident and four people see it four different ways, or you go to a movie with your spouse or girlfriend and or boyfriend and you say, wait a minute, I didn't really like that movie. Oh, I loved it. So I think a lot might depend on the individual. And I'm curious, is there some risk in being able to convey something visually, Dan, and having one person interpret differently than another?
Sure there is, but I think that the risk is a lot less than it is when you have four people playing a game of telephone and they're just describing to each other something that happened verbally. The likelihood in that case of something going awry or being interpreted incorrectly, I think, is a lot higher than when we're talking about a very simple picture. And, you know, you're right. What you say is that four people watching the same scene may come back with four different stories about what happened. There's no question that vision is imperfect, but the example I often like to give is if you're a project manager, or if, let's say in the advertising world, if you're a brand manager and you have a very specific set of marching instructions that you need to convey to your team, if you just convey those to your team verbally, what's going to happen is everybody will interpret them verbally according to what they heard. But if you map out exactly what you want to have people do in a kind of a timeline or a simple chart in a pictorial form, the opportunity for there to be the wrong interpretation of what you've just said is very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
And the additional beauty of it is by having this simple picture pinned up on the team wall or in the team room, is there is a visual record that people can refer back to very, very quickly and remember exactly what they're supposed to be doing when and be able to visually check off and see if they are, in fact, where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, which pretty tricky to do if you're just relating things verbally.
So I guess the point's well taken in that in some cases a lot of organizations or individuals are just falling down and not using visual support to help convey their point. Let's use some illustrative examples, Dan, from your book. For example, one of your chapters is entitled "Who Are Our Customers? Pictures That Solve a Who What Problem." I think a lot of our listeners would enjoy hearing how to best use visual framework when it comes to better understanding one's customers. Talk a little bit about this, Dan.
Sure, and we've all been in countless sessions where we're trying to go ahead and define what is the demographic, come up with kind of a profile of our customers. And typically what happens in one of those meetings is people will start to throw out words and they'll say, you know, here's the age group of our demographic, here's where they live, here's, you know, what they do. And it's all very verbal, and we end up creating a whole lot of lists. What I very much advocate is go ahead and do the list, but back it up by actually physically, with stick figures, drawing out as crudely as you need to, what do you think those customers actually look like? Because what will happen, and this, we're going back to some basics of cognitive science now, if I am simply making a list and sort of listing out a whole bunch of attributes or adjectives that describe something, I'm missing a whole bunch of mental computing horsepower that I have that's really going to help me see what I'm talking about. If I were to take the same list and then force myself, as bad a drawer as I may be, to illustrate it, what all of a sudden is going to happen is that my mind is going to open up to an entirely new way of looking at kind of the list of words that I'm talking about, and really think through, what do these things or these people or these areas or these products actually look like? And when I know what they look like, I can be much, much more aware of what are the relationships between these various items, between my product and service and my customer. If I map it out visually, the likelihood of my getting real good insights and seeing connections is, in my opinion, infinitely more likely than if I was just doing the same thing by writing up a verbal brief.
You know, I think we all agree that the world is becoming more visually oriented. I would imagine the Internet has played a role in making things more visually prominent today. How do you foresee visual thinking impacting business in the future, Dan?
I think in a couple of profound ways. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more use of pictures in more and more complex business settings, if for no other reason than globalization itself is making sure that that's going to happen. The likelihood that the members on a project team are going to be native speakers of different languages is going up extraordinarily. And in my own personal experience, I ran the first Western advertising agency in the Soviet Union back in 1989 and 1990. I didn't speak Russian when I arrived, and it's kind of ironic to think, well, how can you have someone running a marketing communications company in a country where they don't speak the language?
As
the answer was
I
drew.
Yeah.
And it really does work.
Wow.
going back to the caveman days is what I guess that would be.
Or stepping forward to the caveman days.
Something
then that we seem to have forgotten now, and we let our technology kind of get the better of us sometimes, I think.
We are, unfortunately, out of time, Dan. Time flies. You've got a great book, and we wish you continued success there. Go get the book. It's called The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures. Dan, it's been a pleasure to have you here on The Advertising Show.
Brad and Ray, thanks so much. My pleasure.
We've got more with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe coming up in just a minute. Hope you stay with us.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Because I'm a woman.
Actually.
I can bring home a bacon.
Actually.
Fry it up in a pan.
Yes, indeed. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsythe on The Advertising Show. Many thanks to our special guest today, Dan Rome, author of The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures. We can now put away our crayons and paper. Dan has left the building, or something like that. What a great idea. As I said during the interview, I love drawing pictures and solving problems like that. That is therapeutic, too. You know? You got to see how I draw your caricature.
I have seen that, and I usually have 10 fingers. Thank you, by the way. You know, it's a great book, and for those that are regular listeners to our show, we don't have guests on unless we concur with the book and feel that it's worthwhile content. So imprint of Portfolio, great book. Check it out, as Ray says, The Back of the Napkin by Dan Rome.
Sure.
Hey, Ray, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to mention, you know, you're not a big fan of American Idol, and neither am I, but I did watch it last season just to see what was going on this year. I have not watched it. My wife watches it regularly. But I found this interesting. Daily conversations about Fox's American Idol have sunk sharply since last year, according to a survey of Americans. 13-year-olds or older, conducted by Kelly Faye Group, word-of-mouth consultants. Now, the interesting part about this, Ray, is the sharp drop in people talking about the program. Used to be 9.9 million last year. Today it's 5.9 million. Mm. And we're talking about a reduction considerably that coincides with, incidentally, a ratings drop this season. So what I find interesting about this, Ray, is can word of mouth data of key demos be a predictor of overall interest in TV ratings for a program that you're in the middle of or future? So I think there may be something about that.
I think there may be something definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you survey a key demo and you might be predicting what, you know, is about to come. So
we'll agreed. That's great to hear that kind of stuff. We've got Jean Bliss, our customer experience type person, who she is, out of New York, and do the customer math is what she's talking about here today on the Advertising Show. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Simplifying the end game for many is the answer when you're trying to make traction around customer experience. Yes, we'll continue to survey through a customer satisfaction survey or the ultimate question. But what matters in the end is how many customers is your company keeping? By making the indicator of your success, customers coming into your business and out of your business, and the growth of your corporation as a result of customers coming or going, you get to make traction. This is putting the customer work into the context of something simple that can be measured, and that rivals the simplicity of, did you make your sales goals? You can put a goal around lost customers and kept customers per year and by growth of each customer segment. And that ties directly to your ROI. Most importantly, if people's reward and recognition are tied to this type of outcome goal, they will be prompted to find out why customers stay or leave and do something about it. This is going to prompt much better action and will break through how to explain the importance of customers to your board.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thanks, as always, to Jean Bliss, our customer experience type person here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brett Forsyth. Hey, by the way, next week we've got Steve Cohen. Steve is an author of Power Lines. No, it's not about your electricity. Words that sell brands, grip fans, and sometimes change history. So we'll get a chance to talk with Steve next week and find out what that is all about and find out a little bit about, his unique view on customer relationship management and a whole bunch of other stuff as well here at the Advertising Show. Stuart Elliott is a good friend of the Advertising Show from the New York Times. And television may be the ultimate green medium. Green being the fact that they recycle ideas that go in one era and out the other, according to Stuart. NBC is bringing back Knight Rider. No, they should leave that. No, I don't think so. CW is scheduling a new version of Beverly Hills 90210. I'm not so sure that's a great idea, but I don't know. Such revivals are not limited to programs. The networks are also reusing a popular advertising ploy of the past, and we've talked about this before, Brad. It's called the live commercial, and there is nothing better than a live commercial. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think it's fantastic. When television began as a national medium, many spots were delivered live because many of the programs, the soaps and the talk shows, were live. Some products, among them Timex watches, Polaroid instant cameras, made their reputations through spots that offered audiences live demonstrations. Well, you know, there's one thing that you overcome when you do something live. You can't Photoshop. Well, you can't do it again. You can't Photoshop out the mistakes. You can't say, let's see if we can do it better. And those things, you know, we bought this stuff back then. So the concept of going back to television's golden age to find this little magic thing called a live spot, which Jimmy Kimmel has done that as well, I think it's a great idea. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. It's a great idea. And, you know, we reported a few weeks ago about a news person, a news anchor that did a live promo in New York. One of the New York City affiliates there, network affiliates, and lo and behold, she didn't realize she was live, and she used the F word apologized a half hour later on the live 11 o'clock news. So they do have their upsides, but of course, doing a live commercial, you know you're live, and you know how to handle stuff. She thought she was pre-recording a promo and wasn't, and it was a problem.
The concept is anytime you're in front of a microphone or a camera, you probably got to think you're live, okay? Something like that. Here with Ray Schoen's Brad Forsyth. Hope you enjoyed the show. Next week, Steve Cohn. Hope you can be with us at theadvertisingshow.com, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.